Welcome to the Leadership Spark Podcast, where we equip you to be the great leader your people deserve. It's Hampton and Corey here, and yesterday we began a series on common challenges for first-time managers. We gave you three: leading former peers, balancing the new workload, driving team achievement. So go back and check those out if you haven't heard them yet. Today we're going to be talking about a couple more. And the first one I'm going to talk about is motivating and inspiring. Now, I want to be very clear. This is just one element of leadership. I do think there is a myth in our world that people think the definition of leadership is the person that's always motivating and inspiring and always in front of the room, trying to rally people together and always the one on the stage and always with the microphone. And that's not true. A lot of the best leaders I know stand at the back of the room and they give other people an opportunity. But sometimes as the leader, you absolutely need to be the one who is motivating and inspiring your team. And so I think there's a couple messages here. Maybe you're somebody who is listening to this right now, and this is pretty natural to you. I keep talking about the working genius. I promise we're going to give you all a bunch of really great stuff about that soon. We're super excited about what's coming. But one of the geniuses, one of the traits that one can have is they can be a galvanizer. And this is someone that gets energy in life, basically from motivating and inspiring and getting people rallied and excited about certain things. That's definitely the genius that is the most apparent for myself. But I do know some people that they get like really afraid of this. And so I think a challenge for you is to pick your spots. As a leader, you don't always have to be motivating and inspiring, but recognize where are the parts in my day, on my team, where are the projects that this is really necessary for me. And one other encouraging thing for somebody who might struggle with this: you don't always have to be the one doing it. You really might actually have people on your team that enjoy motivating and inspiring. And because you're the leader, sometimes, yes, it does need to be you, but you can do this through other people at some level as well. So I think when we talk about the working genius, we'll be able to help you more with this one, but know that you can't completely not do this one. It's definitely important to do sometimes as a leader.
Yeah, and it's definitely a challenge for first-time managers. It can be. The next one is navigating the organization. It can be challenging for a first-time manager to know how to do that. And so you have to learn how do you put yourself in a position to and be assertive with different leaders, other leaders like you in the organization, so that you can speak on behalf of or advocate for your team or your department. You're now that face person. You're now the person that is in that meeting that you used to not go to, and you're the one representing your team at that table. And so sometimes that can be very challenging because you don't have the experience doing it. You don't have the skills to know how to navigate through that, or you may not even know who the right people are that you need to influence or collaborate with or build relationships with so that you can be the proper advocate for your team. And in some organizations, although you try to eliminate this, in some organizations, there are a lot of politics. There are political maneuvers, or you need to learn how to navigate politically through the organization to make sure that your team is represented. And that can be a struggle for leaders, a struggle for a first-time manager to even know how to do that and what that even is in the organization. And so it can be difficult to navigate through the organization, but these are skills you can learn. You can learn how to gain visibility with leaders within the organization. You can gain an understanding of the company structure, its culture, the politics, and how to navigate through that successfully as you spend time and you grow as a leader. And so that's the next one. And Hampton, what's the last one that we want to cover today?
Last one for today is holding people accountable. This one is hard for everybody, but you can make it easier. I think a lot of times as managers, we make it hard on ourselves. One of the first ways we make it hard is by not having a good say-do ratio. We talk about having a say-do ratio. So sometimes you might say you're going to do something, and if you say something to your team that you're going to do, and then you don't do it, what that explains to them is that they don't always have to do everything that they are going to say. Another way to make this harder on yourself is to have no formal way of tracking anything that people say that they're going to do. So, you know, I don't know if you use some sort of software, some project management software. If you have nothing written down about like projects or deadlines, then that's going to make it a lot harder to hold people accountable. Another way to make it difficult to hold people accountable is not doing something that's really important to me and Corey: a weekly one-on-one with your people. Because not only is it important to have what your people say they're going to do written somewhere, but it's also really helpful to have a time each week where you know that you're going to be asked about it. You know, just by having that on the calendar, typically people know, okay, we're going to be going over these things. I'm likely going to do it. And I know that it can be uncomfortable holding people accountable, but it's a whole lot easier if you start with some of those things that I've talked about. So come back tomorrow for more tips.